Join us in our Earth service on Sunday afternoons. The episode today that Jason Candler and Savitri and I designed, it brings together the Earth's songs. Should I say just the Earth choir was singing. The humans and the more than humans. Savitri's news from the natural world brought us Ecuadorian amphibians, and then we had the oration by Zuma at Mandela's funeral, Nelson Mandela's funeral, the Fulani women from Nigeria, the Stop Shopping Choir, and Neil and David, swells of thousands of snow geese rising into the air, that flock sound you heard, and Zuccotti Park, Laura Newman holding forth with We Are the 99. All these songs have the note of peace in them, the kind that would stop bullets and bombs, but also the kind that would take the earth out of her pain. We look for peace, don't we? Peace-alleluia. Trying to make that happen. Wishing you peace this week. And we're wishing peace for the children and the families in the war zones of the world. So much of it, just all of it, just unnecessary. Well, have a good week, safe and wild. Earth-alleluia, somebody give me an Earth-alleluia here today.
You're tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Andy Wawa looks a scream, animal, not whoa.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is artist Linda Hutchins. Linda's talking about Willamette Greenway, 45.52951 degrees north, 122.67341 degrees west. A show of photographs and videos by her late husband, John T. Montagu, which is on now at the Nine Gallery inside Blue Sky Gallery through November the 2nd. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Linda.
Thank you for having me, Joseph.
We're recording this in person in the Nine Gallery, which everyone knows is this little gallery tucked inside Blue Sky, the photographic gallery. I'd say the room is like 15 by 15, and you've set it up so on the left wall, as you sit down, is a series of stills that change every 20 seconds. Adjacent to that, at 90 degrees, is a series of videos that change every 20 seconds. And John shot these on his daily walk and really just trains his iPhone camera on a section of the Willamette, which has rocks at the shore, and then this square wooden frame, which is sometimes submerged, sometimes exposed, depending on the tide. So it's very minimalist, and you call it durational. So just tell us how you found these pictures and why you set them up for the viewer in this way.
So I knew that John was shooting still snapshots with his iPhone of several locations on his walk along the Willamette River. I didn't know until I started looking through those that he also was shooting 20-second videos of this one particular spot, and that became what captivated me for this show. I found over 130 of those 20-second videos and almost twice that many still images, and I engaged Stephen Slappy to do the editing so that we have a running almost 48-minute loop of all the videos. And then the stills on the adjacent wall, they change with that same 20-second changeover as the videos.
There is a soundtrack to the video. It's just sort of atmospheric, you know, ambient noise, wind usually. So the ones we're looking at now on the left, the stills, sometimes they change a lot because we're looking at the same patch of river. It's probably 30 or 40 yards out into the river at the most. But the top is always reflecting the sky. So the gray and black water of the foreground becomes brighter depending on what the clouds are doing. Sometimes the water is blue, but highest part is a brighter reflection. And sometimes that includes a building, too. And what is that building?
That's Memorial Coliseum. That's directly across from this site. And it, you just see its reflection in the river. What we're seeing here, where when the water level is right at the same level as this square wooden frame, the frame calms the water within it, and the river around is doing its river thing. Mm-hmm.
The river is usually kind of choppy. It's moving a lot. It's very rough. You know, it's a textured surface. But when the water is just in the frame, it's smooth and shiny. So John would go out most days walking, and you selected these pictures. It looks like you have a list of when he shot them. Usually every two or three times a month, you selected pictures. So it comes and goes with the seasons. The rocks change in terms of how dry they are. You know, the water changes. Sometimes it's greener. What do you think he was looking for as he shot these pictures, having never talked to him about this?
Such a good question, because we never talked about this project. He never came home and said, "Linda, you won't believe what I captured in video today." He never did that. So it's all a surprise to me now, and I have to just try to imagine all the things I think that are interesting to me and to other viewers were what captivated him. Just the fact that this frame, it changes the way you look at the river, and so much varies from time to time. Geese come and go, a crow flies in one time, John's shadow appears in the image occasionally, the water's more or less turbulent, the reflections vary. There's maybe one video out of the whole sequence where you can actually see raindrops. I mean, we're such a rainy climate, I think. If it was raining, he was either not out there or he didn't want to stop for 20 seconds.
So you and John were both Intel engineers, and you became an artist, but he kept up whatever you were working on, he would research it. So you had a kind of mind meld, you know, but this art came from a total surprise. He died, you went through his phone, and you found all this. So what did you think? Do I have to put this on display?
Well, as a member of Nine Gallery, I had the month of October as my responsibility to mount an exhibition. And after John's death, I realized I really wasn't going to be ready to show my own work.
When did he die?
February 15th of this year. And I thought about all those snapshots that I knew he took, and I thought, well, maybe I can make something of that. So that's when I ran across the photos. Mm-hmm. We did meet as engineers at Intel in the 80s. I quit fairly soon after that to go to art school. He was such a voracious reader, and he really wanted to know more than you did about whatever you were passionate about.
Competitive guy?
So you might say that. So he would just, whatever I was studying in art school, he would read up about it. We saw a lot of art together over the years. We saw a number of different video installations, not unlike what I've mounted here. I don't think he ever imagined showing his photos and videos publicly. He just took them, squirreled them away. I don't remember him ever even reviewing them himself. He didn't show them to me. He didn't show them to other people. But I just felt, when I found them, there's so much in them about life, about John, the way he thinks, about the transitory nature of everything. I mean, the river just keeps flowing. Like we're looking right now at this huge log that's gotten hung up on this framework next to the shore. Mm-hmm. And it stays there for a number of images until some high water event washes it away. Mm-hmm. It's like things come and things go.
So this log is more like a whole tree, yeah, with its boughs broken off, it's white. And then there are other logs, you know, bits of dead tree in the foreground stuck on the edge of this square frame. But this big thing is cutting across a total diagonal from corner to corner. People should know that this square frame is wooden with steel brackets on each corner, but it's actually huge. You could think it was 2x4s, but it's not. It's more like, I don't know, 8x10s or something. These are big girder-size pieces of wood, and they're on round pilings. When the water drops, you see the round pilings holding it up, and they're more like telephone pole size. So the scale is interesting. And then when you see a bird fly by, you realize that.
There we just saw a shadow go by. In the ambient soundtrack, you hear train whistles, you hear sirens, you hear runners' footsteps, snippets of conversation. If you listen really closely, you'll hear John sniffling. It's just capturing what's happening.
He was on the Greenway. Okay, that's the footpath that runs on the west bank of the Willamette in the Pearl. And the location is halfway between the Steel Bridge and the Broadway Bridge. And there's a little fence that you never see, but he's obviously kind of leaning on the fence to look over. What was the idea of, like, doing all this walking?
You know, I think he walked for exercise and for sanity. One thing about this project that seems very John to me is the repetitive nature of it. He really excelled at repetitive things that many people would consider boring. He, washing the dishes, loading, unloading the dishwasher, doing the laundry, these long walks. He was a very steady, calm influence on me, for sure, and on other people. I would say he was almost always the calmest person in the room. So these walks, he was very dedicated to them. And interestingly, there's a 2-year hiatus in the middle of this project because of the pandemic. You might remember, if you were out walking in 2020, you crossed the street maybe to avoid running into other pedestrians. And in his case, he just changed his walking route to go up into the industrial area so that he wouldn't run into people. So he shot for the last time on April 2nd of 2020. And then quite deliberately, 2 years later, he took it back up again on March 31st. The whole project, the stills he had started shooting in 2017, and then after a couple of years, he made a quite deliberate decision to begin shooting videos, 20-second videos, on January 1st of 2019. And he kept that up, except for this hiatus for the pandemic. He kept it up right through December 26, 2023, was his last shot before he became ill. And his illness was ultimately diagnosed as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is a deterioration of the brain. And in his case, the entire dementia trajectory, from mild cognitive impairment to complete physical disability, was compressed into 6 weeks from January through the middle of February. We're looking right now at my favorite video of all, because there are these ripples coming down from the top of the frame that are reflecting red from what I believe is a freighter docked across the river. So there's these red lines that just cascade down the picture. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, they're ripples coming towards the viewer. There are three or four bars reflecting red, and then there's a bright white light. It could be a ship's light, or it could be the sun. Sometimes you get a shadow. It looks like him, the railing, and what looks like a space needle, or that tower in East Berlin, you know, the sort of thin pole with the blob on it.
You know, I tried to figure that out the last time I went over to that site. It looks like a ship's mast. That's my best guess. And it's, I think, just there for decorative purposes.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is artist Linda Hutchins. She is talking about Willamette Greenway, a show of images taken by her late husband, John T. Montague, which is on now at Nine Gallery in Old Town through November the 2nd. So, Linda, I've found that coming in here on a busy first Thursday, I didn't have the attention, you know. I was in a hurry, too many people, couldn't hear the soundtrack, so I didn't get anything out of it. But sitting here with you, you know, I can take it all in and really appreciate the differences in the play of lights, the changes, the shadows, the ripples. So when you talk about durational, what does durational really mean in a work of art?
Well, for me, it means the longer you sit and look at it, the more you get from it. And it can ask a lot of you to just sit still for as long as 45 minutes or an hour. I love this kind of work. I feel like it rewards your attention.
Do you like Andy Warhol?
Well, probably not my favorite.
Would you sit through Empire State, 12 hours of video?
Well, that would be... Yeah, 12 hours is asking a lot. But, I mean, John and I were both regular attendees of events the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art put on. And there was a 24-hour performance that we sat through.
Do you remember the
mostly
name?
Stayed awake. Oh, my God. It was Meg Daisy's... I don't remember the title of the work. Mm-hmm. But he did a 24-hour monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I remember that,
yeah.
20 years ago, the beginning of TBA.
Yeah.
Is the idea of sitting here for a long time because we, as modern humans with our computers, need some way of slowing down? Or is it something that maybe people would have needed 50 years ago or 100 years ago?
Mm. Well, we definitely can benefit from it now. I mean, I think John would have answered that because he was such a reader. He would have said through every era, writers complained about the pace of life and how frantic things were. So maybe we've always needed it.
Mm-hmm. It's not like they were being interrupted by text. They were writing letters to each other, like just anything to procrastinate. Sometimes the plants vary. So these ferns grow in the rocks at the front. They come and go. There is not much sign of greenery in these images. It's mostly the water moving and the light. The way the sun hits directly sometimes, or the way it brings a shadow out. It's just interesting that he never talked about this.
We're looking at one right now that I love, because the video, in fact, the water in this one is so calm. On first look, you might think, oh, the video editor made a mistake. That's a still image when it should be a video. So there is also this aspect of you're looking at videos, you're looking at still images side by side. And so I think there's a little bit of a conversation about the difference between those, what you're able to glean from a still image because it doesn't change what you're able to glean from a video, because it does change. Mm-hmm. There's that kind of conversation, I think, here as well.
And that one was so still that you could see the reflection of the steel bridge kind of gantry, that pointy thing that holds the bridge up in the top right-hand corner. You could actually see what it was, not just like a black squiggle. There are these pieces of rebar as well attached to the steel corners, bent pieces of metal. Do they ever go anywhere?
I think they're pretty stable. They catch things. Things get hung up on them, but they don't really go anywhere. The plants that come and go, I mean, there's this, the whole thing covers 5 years for the videos and 7 years for the still images. And each of these two projections is running in chronological order. They're not synced with each other, but each of them is chronological. So you're seeing the site through multiple seasons. And sometimes there were weeks would go by from one shot to the next. There definitely are changes in the vegetation.
How does this relate to the idea of mourning? So your husband was sort of taken ill in December and he was dead by, as you said, it was like dementia compressed into 6 weeks, and physically he couldn't move, he couldn't walk, and he died. And that was only February, right? We're only in October. Yeah. You had the help of Stephen Slappy, who's a brilliant video editor and archivist, putting this together. So what was your input in this? And does that relate to, you know, how you felt about your husband?
Well, I see this as such a gift that John left me and us. I think it has so much to tell us about the transitory nature of life. I mean, to begin with, you have the obvious metaphor of the river of life. And then you have these moments where we're looking at one right now. Within that frame, the water's quite calm. The river is still flowing by. The water within is calm. I think that to me is so much a reflection of John himself. It's hard for me not to see this as a self-portrait of him. It's been really healing for me to see this come together. And I would say Stephen's input was just perfect. He really, this is the sort of project that he loves to do, going through assembling someone's collection of images or video. And it was his input to show the video side by side with the still images. He just happened to see that arrangement on his screen as he was going through things. And then together we decided that the still images should change at the same time the video changes. There were almost, or more than twice as many still images as video, and I just let Stephen do the selection so that they match up in the end, 130 of each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Stephen present some videos of vintage skateboarders at the Tomorrow Theater, and he got them from old Super 8s and VHS he bought on eBay, and he did a brilliant job of like putting them together. And you know, it was Oakland in the 60s and 70s, just amazing. This is the opposite of skateboarding videos. This is like rippling water. What do you think his goal was? You said he synced them up in a way, and you know, video lasts 20 seconds like a still. Did you give him instructions?
Yeah, I think it was my input that I wanted the still images held just as long as the video. At one point, we had the still images changing more quickly, and that felt really distracting to me. He understood that John probably would not have put these out publicly, but he wanted to try to be as true to what John saw as he could. I think Stephen's saw his role as to disappear, to not have a Stephen Slappy imprint on the result.
John was a computer programmer, correct? Engineer, all his life. But he was also an amateur photographer, and his subject, his favorite subject, I think, was abandoned buildings, right? Kind of urbex with a camera. Where did he shoot around Portland, and how does this bit of the river fit into his scope?
Well, the other shots that I'm aware of are either similar situations along the riverfront or buildings in the industrial area. Over the years, he would gravitate towards old barns or derelict architecture. Mm-hmm. I think this site caught his eye as a relic of some former structure, maybe a dock. It's not clear what it was. It's very solid, whatever, because mm-hmm. this structure really didn't change over those 7 years that he shot it. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things get hung up on it and then pass by, but the structure itself is very stable.
So does John have a grave? And when this shuts on November the 2nd, is that where you would go to get a similar kind of experience of sitting with him?
So we actually scattered John's ashes at sea. That was his desire. We spent a lot of time at the beach, and he actually grew up near water in Seattle, and he definitely gravitated towards this riverfront. I mean, in a way, I could return to this site that he photographed so much. I could really spend time at any body of water and feel like I'm with him.
Mm-hmm. Linda, you'll be in the gallery one more time tomorrow, Wednesday, October 30th, from noon to 1:30, if people want to come down and have a chat. But you'll also be conducting a walk, you and Stephen Slappy, on Saturday, November the 2nd, from 1 to 2:30. So you'll leave Blue Sky and walk down to the river and go stand and look at this spot.
It's about a 20-minute walk. We walk over to Union Station, and then we go up over the pedestrian bridge, over the train tracks, and then we have to skirt the condos that are along the waterfront. We have to go around those and back to the site. It takes about 20 minutes to get there. Mm-hmm. And we'll lead the walk, leaving at 1 o'clock from Blue Sky Gallery, from 9 Gallery. Mm-hmm.
Does sitting here now looking at this, does it make you sad?
No. I mean, all kinds of things can catch me by surprise and bring me to tears. I love watching this installation. It calms me, yeah.
I think it's a beautiful way to remember somebody and share it, you know, with people in Portland.
I knew this would be interesting to people who were friends of John's. I suspected it would be interesting to people who didn't know John, and I think that's proven true. People, certainly some people, come and leave quickly, but even people who didn't know him have been compelled to sit through the whole thing. It grows on you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great because you have this long tradition of looking at art, going to Pica stuff, and you've made something like that now, and it does reward you to sit with it. My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was artist Linda Hutchins. Linda was talking about Willamette Greenway, 45.52951 North, 122.67341 West. That is the coordinates of the spot on the river that her late husband John T. Montagu shot with his iPhone for 7 years, and the installation is on now through November the 2nd at 9 Gallery, which is the little gallery inside Blue Sky Gallery in Old Town. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Linda.
Thank you so much for this conversation, Joseph. I really appreciate it.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Hi, I'm Jill Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
This is Bird Note. If you examine closely the colors, shades, and adornments of cedar waxwings, these sleek and handsome foragers may become your favorite bird. Cedar waxwings display a wealth of eye-catching plumage, from a cinnamon brown backswept crest to a black mask edged with white, and a bright yellow border on their tails. And those wax wings? Well, if you look carefully, you'll see what appear to be drops of red wax on the tips of their secondary flight feathers. Cedar waxwings have a quiet voice. If you can hear their song, it's only a very soft trilling, and even then, it's fairly hard for people to hear. Because they are communal feeders, they don't sing to establish individual feeding territories. Instead, they use their high-pitched trills and buzzy calls to keep track of each other in their small flocks. You can enjoy the company of cedar waxwings when you plant fruit-bearing trees and shrubs such as mountain ash, crabapple, mulberry, and hawthorn. During winter, the birds wander widely in search of food because their diet consists almost entirely of fruit. But summer or winter, invite these stylish visitors for a meal in your yard. See a stunning photograph of a cedar waxwing and find out more about the native plants they prefer on our website, birdnote.org. I'm
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 29 de octubre del 2024.